Lay Thurlow, Reel 3. Yes, you're going to tell me about the Naffy, aren't you?
But just before the Naffy, I went up to the Labour Exchange in Southend, and they said they'd got nothing for me, as they were, you know, sort of suited. But there was war work. Would I like to do that for a while? So I said, yes, all right, then, if it's something to do with the war. And the chap that I was engaged to by then had gone abroad. He was in the Royal Artillery, you see. And so I thought, well, I'll be helping. So they sent me over to Rettingham, towards Chelmsford. And it was a farm. And they were doing small parts for Hoffman's in Chelmsford, that was. So, but the actual place was a farm in Rettingham. So I went by bike all this way.
And these small parts, what were they?
They were small parts for minesweepers. And I used to make paravanes and bushes for the minesweepers, paravanes.
What are they?
They're to do with the engine parts of the minesweepers. And the bushes, they were sort of brass things. You'd done reaming on that. You pulled them and it came down and it cleared all the middle barrels. And they were parts for the... it's a shame I haven't got them with me. I gave them to my son, and he's still got them on his mantelpiece along the road. Yes. And
so how long did you do that?
I only done it for a matter of about 4 months, I suppose, because I suffer with psoriasis, and I've had that since I was 14. Again, it's to do with the bones, you see, and the oil in the, you know, with making the paint. It was a massive, great, big machine. And as the machine come along, the oil was going round, and you're pushing this with another thing, this paravane, to go in, and that would go into it like that, and like that. And you got all the oil, and it was going all over the arms. Into me, you know, you had to wear special sort of apron things and that. And it went right the way through and was causing skin trouble coming back on and on my face. And if it went down, it would go onto my legs, you know. So eventually I went to the doctor's, a dear old Dr. Wilkes, and he had a horse. He used to come round to all the patients and treat us. Well, he was a family doctor. And when he said to stay at home, he said, you can't go there. You'll have to leave. And he said, I'll give you a certificate to take to the Labour Exchange. Because once you was in war work, they wouldn't let you go, you know, even though you volunteered. So I got home and I said to Mum, and as I've told you before, no, you weren't allowed to be out of work. I wasn't, by the way, when I came home from London. I never went to work for 4 weeks because my doctor was treating me for them as well. Anyway, I went back to Labour Exchange and they said, well, what can you do then? So I said, what you got? So I said, I did ask you about the Naffy before you sent me to do this other war work. And he looked up and he said, oh yes, he said, there's some vacancies at Hornchurch Airdrome. He said, would you like that? And I said, oh yes, that'd be lovely. He said, you get a uniform. He said, very smart. He said, I'll show you a leaflet. And when I saw the uniform, I fell in love with it.
What was it?
It was more like a trilby hat. Again, khaki. Very, very smart. Not trousers, it was a skirt and a jacket. And it was very smart indeed. And it just got Naffy written across the breast part. And
what does that stand for?
It stood for National Air Force Army Forces with an I, an institution or something like that. That was what it was. National Air Army Air Force Navy, because the Navy Army Air Force. Forces Institution, that's the actual words, yeah. And
Did you have any training? Did they give you any training?
No, they asked if I was had any experience, and so I told them about Mum's. Each shop she had was a restaurant and that, you see, and one little working man's cafe, which we used to serve all the councillors at that time. And so they put me in at the deep end. You had to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you had to polish all the, and blacklead, all the fire ranges and all that, which, you know, they weren't modern, were they? You see, it was all the old kitcheners and all that kind of thing, and you had to scrub floors all before opening time at the of the naffy, and it was massive. You had officers, pilots, and rear gunners and all that. So you had different compartments, and then you had ground staff. So you had it was all on detail. One day you'd be at the officers one, next day you would be at the pilots and rear gunners and so on, and the next day you'd be on the ground staff.
But on their accommodation?
Yes, you had to sleep in.
Yes, but did you look after their accommodation?
Oh, they lived in there. Actually.
Yes.
They were stationed in Hornchurch Airdrome.
And
they
you had
the officers' mess and all the billets. All there.
And you had to look after the billets,
did
you?
They came into the naffy and we served them.
Oh, I see. You
yes,
were just doing the food.
To their
yes, I see.
Yes.
That's
own canteen or anything was closed. And at night time, it was always packed. You know, because they used to have music going and the odd dances there. You know, just ordinary. And then when they got the take post, that was off. Music stopped and all that, yes. And we'd have to clear up all the different big recreation and rooms, you know, where they'd had tea and that. And it wasn't plastic cups, it was china. Yes, no plastic cups at all in those days. So it was all china mugs and that.
Was it open all day, the naffy?
Oh, yes, so that they'd come and go. And I would tell you how they used to make the tea, if it's interesting to you. Well, they put so much tea into a big cylinder with a tap where you could turn it on and the tea would come out the other end. But then they would put bicarbonate of soda, yes, to make it stronger, so they could dilute it. Now, I can't tell you how much bicarbonate of soda, and I can't tell you how much tea, because the head cook used to do that, and the head waitress, they used to do that so that we didn't see. And of course it was butter most of the time, it wasn't margarine those days. Oh yes, it was so cheap, you know, and it was a hell of a lot of work there. And you really kept go all the time. And then when the naffy was closed, you didn't finish. You'd shut for 2 hours, and then you'd open up again at 6 o'clock. So from 4 o'clock to six, you'd be shut, but you'd be working. Now, you did get sometimes an early shift where you finished, and you did get a half day a week, maybe a Sunday off. But very rare. If you got a Sunday off, it would be 1 in 6. You might get an evening off where you was allowed to go out if you wanted to. But the raids were so bad in those days. Actually, if you still got the tape going, I was going to say something about Harry's father in Romford or Hornchurch, where he was. Remembering that, and I thought it might be of interest to you.
Yeah, it's mainly your direct experience, which
yes,
is so interesting,
yes,
that we're interested
yes,
in.
It's
yes, but the food you served in the naffy, what would this have been?
Oh, it would be cooked meals. Yes, all cooked meals, sandwiches, cakes, rock cakes, custard tarts, buns, you know, toast. Hurry.
And did they have to give coupons for this?
They couldn't, no. They could have that. But if they got cigarettes, if they wanted cigarettes in the Navi, then they got allowed 60. 20 Girl Flake or 20 Players. 20 Senior Service or Tennis. They were terrible. Or Weights. So altogether they got 60 cigarettes. They got also a coupon for half a pound or two small bars of chocolate. And they used to swap with each other, so that if one smoked and the other one liked chocolate, they would swap. So you just changed them anyway. So they got their weekly sum of the cigarettes, and they had to pay for them.
I expect you got a pretty good idea from the pilots, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
What sort of strain they were under,
God. They used to come into the Navy as their own canteen and you know, their food. Although they got meals, they'd come into the Navy in the evening and they'd have there was a bar where they could, somebody would serve at the bar. I never ever went into that bar, and only the elder ones went into that. But I was allowed to walk through and I could see, and when I went to pick up cups and things like that, exhaustion. Sheer exhaustion. You could see them getting, they had sort of armchairs there, and you'd see them flop in the armchairs, you know, and they'd be asleep, you know, sitting there, or they'd be talking to one another very quietly, that's a bad one, you know, when the raids were above us and that kind of thing. And that's when I was bombing Longford and Holchurch. Yeah.
No, that's fine. So there were bombing raids going on, and I suppose they were going up
yeah.
with their fighters, yeah. were they? Yeah. Was it a fighting?
Yes, and they wouldn't be coming down until it was over. And then if it started again, another lot would go up. Or if it wasn't a big raid, then they would go up again. They'd be ready to fly again. Directly they came down, they'd be ready to fly up again.
You were saying there was music and dancing as well.
Yes, if they wanted to dance. I mean, there was, yeah, they had the Air Force owned the band there, and but as soon as there was a raid, it all stopped. But it used to be nice because you could see the WAFs dancing with the RAF lads. If the Daffy girls were off, they were allowed to go in there and dance with the chaps. Yes. Also, the battery next door, the one after the heavier gang. My own boyfriend at the time was stationed in there, so he used to pop into the Navy and see us and chat. Perhaps we weren't allowed to talk, you know, but he'd just get a couple. We weren't allowed to converse much with them. Oh no, they nicknamed me Queenie. That was my nickname, Queenie. And unless we was off duty, then we could talk to them. But you must never mention or ask anything about what they did or anything like that. But if I was off and I knew there was a dance on, I would go down and go in there with a couple of the other girls first. But we had to get to bed very, very early. We had our own little rooms. And because of being up at 4 and 5 o'clock, if he was cleaning all the kitchen stuff, you had to be up at 4. If he was on the cleaning and setting out the trays and cleaning the floors along where you was working, then you'd be along the front at 5 o'clock cleaning up. And if you had to go out into the canteens, mostly the men done that though. Men cleaned out then. But if you had to go out and help make sure the tables were wiped down, and they would be about 6 o'clock as well. So we opened up at 7. So it was all going in from 4 o'clock till 7. And then you carried on working for breakfast. And then after breakfast, you would shout, I think, for an hour, maybe 2 hours. And then you'd open up again for lunchtime or for any of the Air Force lads and women that wanted to come in and have a cup of tea and listen to just ordinary music, radio or whatever, yes. And that was mainly. Then I only got, well, two of us actually got gastroenteritis. So, of course, we was in the hospital there at Hornchurch. They had a little hospital there, military. And if you got gastroenteritis, you was automatically discharged. Yes, she was discharged. So it was quite a serious thing, evidently. Mm-hmm. We were very, very poorly. We really was poorly. And then, of course, I had to give up and come home.
So when did you go into the ATS then?
Shortly after.
Mm. And before I ask you about that, being in the NAFI, and then later, of course, you were in the ATS, was there a difference in sort of the way you were regarded?
Oh, yes, yes. The cook, she was very, very strict. She was like these Edwardian people of those days. You was afraid to talk to another of the girls. If you get caught talking, you was definitely told off and be quiet and get on with your work.
Mm. How about public attitudes to you? You know, did the NAFI have the same sort of status as the ATS?
They were very, very strict, but not to the extreme of the ATS. You never done marching drill. You never done going up on command post, you know, for raids or anything like that. If there was a raid there, you were more or less stuck there into the NAFI itself. There was a room, steps down, where you could go down there when there was a raid. You were called out of your bed when there was a raid, and you had to come down at that time, yes.
So now if I could ask you about the ATS, you know, did you volunteer,
yes,
or were you called up? You
no,
volunteered.
I volunteered, I was 17 then.
And why the ATS?
Well, it wasn't actually the ATS at first. And Mum and Dad said that I was to go into Southend and try and get another job. So they had me home just for that 2 days, and into Southend I had to go. And I went into the careers. I saw it in Warrior Square. I thought, this is one place I'd like to go. We need you, we want you. And then I saw the Navy, then I saw the Air Force, and then the Navy, all in placards, yes. We need you, we finger pointing. So I thought I'd go into that, in there and see what was going. And can we help you? And I said, yes, please. What can we do for you? And I told him that I'd already been in an NAFI, but because of gastroenteritis, I was discharged. I said, I've also got psoriasis. So they said, well, don't worry about that. You'll have a medical. So I said, all right. So I said, well, he said, well, what do you like to go in? I said, well, I'd like to go in the rooms, please. I'm sorry, they're full up. Oh, no, beg your pardon. Have you got any diplomas or anything like that? And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, exams where you've passed different exams. Oh, no, I said, no. I just went to council schools. All right, but, well, I'm sorry, there's nothing going in the range. You've got to have special qualifications. That was the word they used. And I said, ah. So I said, what about the WAFs? So unless you want to go in to be a cook or dining room orderly, that's all there is. And I said, oh no, my mother's had shops and I've done all that. I want something different. What else can you offer me then? Well, it's only the ATS. So I said, is that the army? And they said, yes. So I said, yes. I said, I'll volunteer for that. But what have you got to offer me? Again, out come dining and orderlies, cooks, all that kind of thing. Unless you want to go into to do for war work, like marching drill, the engineers, driving, anything like that. And I said, well, you sound so interesting, yes. Of course, there is the Royal Artillery, so, but you'll go through tests for all of these. But first of all, you will have your medical. So I said, right, so when can you have your medical? Are you available for today? And I said, yes. Well, if you pass your medical, you will get your first shilling. You get a shilling. It's called the King's shilling, yes. And if you pass out on that, in 3 days to a week, you will get from us whatever we've got to give you for whatever you pass. We'll tell you what you pass today. So I said, right, okay, thank you very much. So straight away I had a medical.
How stringent was that?
Very strict. Oh, very strict indeed. You even had blood taken. You didn't have vaccinations that day at all until you was in. And you had nerve things to go, you know. You had to, after the medical, you had to go into another room. And it was done by the actual military there. It wasn't done from the employment or anything like that. It was all military where I went into it. And the chap shook hands with you. He said, now I want you to sit over here, testing my hearing, perfect. The medical chap, the officer, came in, and he did your eyesight. And that was absolute perfect. And they were rather pleased about the eyesight and the hearing, you see. And then they said, now we're going to show you a kind of a machine, and it's like, it's a table, and it's on a board, and there's all these wires, very fine wires, and you're going to hold a pencil, and it's this little pencil will go between the wires. If it goes off more than 4 times, you will not pass for the Royal Artillery, and you will not pass for engineering, we don't think. But we'll do this first. So by then, but you sat first for a quarter of an hour, relaxing. You've got to relax. Then you came forward in your chair, and they give you this pencil. And the wires were so close to one another, so very close, you didn't touch either wire. And you had to, it was just like snakes and ladders, and that, more snakes than ladders, if you understand. And it was going, it was like Spaghetti Junction, you know, where you see it in America. And you had to go, and it took 20 minutes. But your elbow must not touch the table. So your hand was upright. That's your older now, right near to the thing, and the board, and you had to go right the way through. If you wanted to stop, yes, you could stop. Give yourself a minute, but you must not take it away from where you were. Otherwise, you'd lose where you were, and then you started again. I stopped just once, and I went through the whole lot. And it rang once, and that was right on the last, just the one. Well, they were so amazed, and they said that I was the first person to ever have the one just pass on one. Some had passed through on three, but if you went four, no. And so they decided there and then that I would go into the Royal Artillery.
That was the Royal Artillery sort of section of
yes.
the ATS.
Yes, the Royal Artillery, mm-hmm. heavy ACAC, mixed regiment. It was a mixed regiment.
But and that was the 145, was it?
Yeah, yes.
Right.
Now, before you went down to Aldershot, you had to do marching drill for 6 weeks. At South Ridgeton in Leicester. And when you got there, you had to go into a special room where they asked you your hobbies. And I said that I'd love to go into a band. When my father, I wanted to take after my father. I wanted him to be very proud of me because I always felt the odd one out because of the things that I had wrong with me. And the fun that was made of me at school, where I'd lost some of my front teeth because of the calcium, which caused the psoriasis and all that. And that didn't stop them, my psoriasis, because it wasn't catching. So I went in as A1, which I was very, very pleased with. Yes. So all that went off. I came home and Mum said, did you get a job? And I said, yes, Mum. Well, what is it? Because there's no shops. They were all closed in Southend because of the war. You know, all there was domestic. And I had enough of that when I was 14 to 16 going into service. And so, of course, and I wanted to do something good. Especially my fiancé being in the army. And by then he'd got abroad. So I was very pleased with myself. But when I spoke to Mum and said I was going into the ATS, why the ATS, she said? Why didn't you go for one of the others? And I said, well, I could have, Mum. Well, why? And so I had to explain why, but there was no, I couldn't get into the Wrens because I didn't have the qualifications. And there was nothing in the Air Force, only cooking and a cook and domestic work. I said, I didn't want to do that anymore, Mum. So what are you going into then? I said, the Royal Artillery. Is that because of Fred? So I said, well, yes, in one way, Mum, but I would like to go. I mean, she was entitled to stop it because I was volunteering. But when Dad came home from work, and he knew, oh, good, he said. He was so proud. And it's the first time I've seen my father's face light up with something I've done right. Yes, he was very proud. He was so proud that when it was the day to go, I've got 3 days, I've got all my papers and a shilling to go up to South Ridgeton, my warrant, railway warrant, where everything like that. And so, but we had moved then to the Benfleet Road, just only about 400 yards away, and into a lovely house. Mum had eventually given up the shop because everybody had gone. You didn't get many people coming to everybody was digging for victory, so what you've got you couldn't sell. We couldn't get any foreign foods coming in, like grapes, bananas, apples, oranges. You couldn't get anything like that. So it was like that shop was shut first, and Nanny and Grandad had come from London, so they'd taken over their flat eventually in there. Mum was in the next shop. And couldn't get the food from the food office. You'd get 2 pounds of sugar to last you 3 months for the restaurant. And a flour, you'd get 1 bag of flour, 3 pound bag, that had to last 3 months. You know, all that kind of thing. And the meat was on ration. So you couldn't get it. So the shop had to go. So we moved then to Benfleet Road. Yeah. Well, we'd only lived there a couple of months when all this was going on with me. And the day that I was going, got my case and everything, and saying goodbye to Mum. She was out in the kitchen for a long time. I'm sure she was shedding a tear. I'm sure she was. And she came up to the passage. Okay, Dad said, come on in, mate, as you're not going to catch your train. We've got the bus to catch. So he proudly carried my case, got to the gate, garden gate. Mum calls me back. She shouts out, may come back here a minute. Dad said, we can't stop Tilly. She's going to miss the bus and the train. And so she said, I won't keep her a minute.